And God met Balaam. And Balaam said to him, I have arranged the 7 altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak. And he returned to him, and behold, he and all the princes of Moab were standing beside the burnt offering. And Balaam took up his discourse and said, From Aram, Balak has brought me, the king of Moab, from the eastern mountains. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the crags I see him, from the hills I behold him. Behold, a people dwelling alone and not counting itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his. And Balak said to Balaam, What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have done nothing but bless them. And he answered and said, Must I not take care to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? And Balak said to him, Please, come with me to another place, from which you may see them. You shall see only a fraction of them, and shall not see them all. Then curse them for me from there. And he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, Stand here beside your burnt offering, while I meet the Lord over there. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak. And he came to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, What has the Lord spoken? And Balaam took up his discourse and said, Rise, Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt, and is for them like the horns of the wild ox. For there is no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, What has God wrought? Behold, a people. As a lioness it rises up, and as a lion it lifts itself. It does not lie down until it has devoured the prey and drunk the blood of the slain. And Balak said to Balaam, Do not curse them at all, and do not bless them at all. But Balaam answered Balak, Did I not tell you all that the Lord says that I must do? And Balak said to Balaam, Come now, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, which overlooks the desert. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Balak, the king of Moab, was terrified. He heard what Israel had done to Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. Israel was like a great tsunami flowing through the land, or perhaps like a river of molten lava. No one had been able to stand before them. Everyone in their path had been obliterated when Israel came against them. And he, Balak, was next in line. It was a desperate time for Balak. Conventional military measures were sure to fail. Desperate times call for desperate measures. What he could not accomplish by sword or bow or chariot, he would attempt to achieve by enlisting supernatural powers. So King Balak sent for a soothsayer, Balaam, son of Beor, who could see into the future. But clearly Balak wanted more than just to know the future. He called on Balaam because he believed Balaam could manipulate the future. As he said in his invitation to Balaam, "Come now, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." Balak was correct in what he said. He whom Balaam blessed was blessed, and he whom Balaam cursed was cursed. But that was not because of any power in Balaam or his words. It was only because Balaam did not go beyond the command of the Lord. Balaam did not say things other than what the Lord had said to him. He did not cause things to happen by what he said. His speaking merely revealed what the Lord had shown to him, what the Lord himself was going to do. That's what Balaam does in the reading we heard earlier. The first two of oracles of four he would speak. He says, "How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced?" Balak correctly recognizes this as a blessing on Israel and complains to Balaam. But the soothsayer replies that he has no choice but to speak what the Lord gives him to say. Balak's desperation is clear from his request that Balaam follow him to another vantage point and curse the portion of the people of Israel that he can see from there. It seems that he's imagining that the words Balaam speaks only apply to those within eyesight as he utters them. Balak clings to the hope that if at least some portion of the people can be cursed, it might be sufficient to give him a chance to prevail in battle. When Balaam returns from meeting the Lord, however, and Balak says, "What has the Lord spoken?" The word of the Lord is a disaster for Balak. Balaam tells him God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I received a command to bless. The Lord has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them. God is for them like the horns of a wild ox. For there is no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what has God wrought? The Lord had blessed Israel, and so Balak would not be able to prevail against them. Unlike human beings, the Lord neither lies nor changes his mind. When he has put his name on a people or on a person, they can be confident in his gracious and loving care. What he has said, he will do. What he has spoken, he will fulfill. The one whom he has blessed will be blessed. The last word will be the amazed exclamation, "What has God wrought?" The Lord has wrought for himself a people, washing sinners in the name of his Son. In the name of Jesus, and with the mark of the cross put on them, put on you in holy baptism, there is blessing, life forevermore. The enemies of God's people, sin, death, and Satan, cannot prevail against those whom God has blessed. Though like Barak, these three intend to curse and destroy and use every resource available to them to accomplish it, the truth remains: God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He will do what he has said and fulfill what he has promised. His blessing is on his people, and no one can revoke it. By the death of Jesus, in the waters of holy baptism, in the words of absolution, and at the table of the Lord, God has wrought for himself a people, forgiven, cleansed, redeemed. According to his mercy and grace, he is the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He has called you by name. You are his. For the sake of Jesus, you will never perish, and no one will snatch you out of his hand. What God has wrought is this: a people redeemed, forgiven, and saved eternally. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.